Peter responds with a repent and be baptized and be forgiven. And the story ends that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about how many people? 3,000 people were added to their number that day, the same number of people who were killed in that first Shavuot, right? 3,000 people killed, 3,000 people saved, because God is doing something new. God is showing the world, God is showing his people in this moment, he's taking this moment to show them who he is, to show them what this story is, that God is not a God of condemnation and of judgment and of death, but God is a God of love, of grace, of compassion, of reconciliation. And God is using this moment, God is using this moment to tell his people, to show to his people who he truly is. And what I love about the story, what I love about the story is, for one, the moment that God is using to teach them who he is. But as much as that, that this moment wasn't just a moment. That this moment actually became the catalyst for a movement in their world. Because what didn't happen is these people at Pentecost, they didn't go home and go, huh, that was kind of crazy, wasn't it? Like, let's go back home. But what we find is that this moment became a catalyst for a movement of God in their world. That, remember, we already know that people were speaking in tongues in this moment because people had come from all over the place to the temple for this festival. And so what we find happened is that God shows up in this, God's doing this new thing. God proclaims to his people who he is. And what do the people do? Well, the people go back home. They go back to all of the places that they had come to Jerusalem for. And what didn't stay in Jerusalem is what happened in this moment, right? But this moment went out with them into wherever they came from. And we find this movement going throughout their world that actually, when we read in the New Testament, we have a guy by the name of Paul, one of the greatest missionaries the church has ever seen. And a good chunk of our New Testament is actually letters that Paul wrote to a number of churches. And a lot of the churches that Paul wrote to are churches that he had actually planted. But there's maybe his biggest letter, it's his first one when we read, is the book of Romans, this letter that Paul wrote to a church in Rome. Paul didn't start the church in Rome. Paul was not the one who planted the church. And actually, most scholars will actually date the beginning of the church in Rome to sometime shortly after the story of Pentecost, which has led many scholars to speculate, to wonder, to believe that we know people from Rome were there that day. Is it possible that this event happened, that this happened, and people did not let that moment stay in Jerusalem? But that moment became a movement that launched people into Rome to start these churches all over their known world, because God is doing something and the world needs to know, right? Because when a moment becomes a moment, when a moment stays a moment, it's basically just entertainment, right? When a moment exists for the moment's sake, it's basically just entertainment. But when a moment becomes a movement, the world as we know it can change. And that is this story. It's a moment of God declaring who he is that became a movement of people going out into the world proclaiming that same message. And I love that. I love that because I see examples of that continuing to happen all over the place. Because God isn't done working, right? God isn't done. God is still living and active and working in the world. And I believe that God is still doing what God has always been doing of working through his people to bring all people back to himself. It's why I love our mission statement of why we exist, that we're here to help people find their way back to God. Because I believe that is core to the heart of God. I believe that's core to the very story of God. And I love the way we are still seeing God proclaim who he is, God using moments to create movements. And I actually see it here. I actually see it here. One of the reasons I was excited to come here is because of the ways I see that happening right here at Walker Harbor. That even if we were to back up a little bit, even if we were to back up a handful of years to how we even came to be, there was a moment in 2010 when one church made a decision that we want to proclaim to our communities, to our world, who God is. Because there's a lot of people saying a lot of things about who God is. And we think a lot of those stories aren't showing God as God is revealing himself. And so we want to make a difference in our neighborhoods. And so in 2010, a church made a decision to go multi-site, right? And if we actually look at the way that moment became a movement, if we actually throw a graph, in 2010, Harbor Churches was one church, and that is the entire reach of the church in 2010. At 2010, a decision was made, a moment happened, where a decision was made that we want to help people find their way back to God, because we started looking at the percentages of people who said they were connected to a church in our areas, and we didn't love the numbers we saw. And we decided the best way to do this is to go into neighborhoods, to be good news in local neighborhoods, in communities. And we actually ran a map this month after becoming Harbor Churches, and now this moment is becoming a movement. It's how this church started, right? That there was a moment when some of you, when we looked at the census data from Walker, we looked at the census data and saw that less than 20% of those living in Walker are connected to a church. And saying, we believe God's heart is for the people of Walker like it is for the people wherever there are people, right? Because God's heart is for people. And we see that the number is less than 20%. And the census data doesn't say why those 80 plus percent aren't tied into a church. But we have other studies that show us what people who aren't connected to a church often think about the church, right? And there's kind of three words that often come up that the church is viewed as being condemning, judging, and irrelevant, right? Because there's a lot of people saying a lot of things about who God is, and we want to stand up and we want to proclaim, no, that's not the story. Right? That condemning, judging, irrelevant, that is not the story. But there is a much bigger, more beautiful story of a God who is loving, who is gracious, who is forgiving, who is compassionate, a God whose heart is not against his people, but a God whose heart is so for his people. And then I see it in your Love Walker initiative that there was a moment when this church gathered together and said, why do we exist? Why do we exist? Because we want to gather together and we want to proclaim who God is. Absolutely, yes. We want to create moments where we're reminded of who God is. But we want those moments to turn into movements in our neighborhoods, in our communities, because we didn't exist just to create moments, right? We want to be a part of a movement of what God is doing in his world. And so the idea came up of what would it look like for us to love Walker, right? What would it look like? And before it became t-shirts and stickers, and how cool that you have temporary tattoos. I'm gonna have a sleeve by the time I leave. But that's amazing. But what's cool isn't just the decision, isn't just the t-shirt, although the t-shirt's unbelievably cool. What's cool is the stories that are already coming out of this. The stories that the small stories and the big stories of the way you're already engaging that initiative, that moment to step in and love your community in a new way. It's a story of a group of you, some of you might even be here, who decided that there's a lot of teachers that give a lot of time and energy into our kids, into our community. We should say thank you by bringing them a donut. And I was sitting next to Wally in the office when a text message comes in of some of you giving local teachers donuts just to say thanks. How cool is that? It's a story of Avery, a senior in high school, standing here going, I care about my peers and I care about our middle schoolers, and we need to tell them the true, this true story of who God is, right? It's a story that I'm going to brag on your staff a little bit. It's a story of Max saying, what does it look like for us to love on our neighborhood? Well, we're actually going to, there's this community thing taking place around Easter. What would it look like for us to actually step in and partner with the city that we want to be good news to in helping serve this community that God has called us to? It's a story as small as what Wally's been doing. Wally, you may not know this yet, but Wally is actually known at a local gas station because, I'm going to brag on him because he probably hasn't told this story already, but Wally walked in and he talked to the people behind the counter because he didn't want to just pay at the pump because he actually wanted to meet the people who were serving Walker. And so he walked in and he walked up to the register and he just asked the people behind it. He's like, hey, if I was going to grab a candy bar, which one would you grab? Oh man, Butterfinger's my favorite. And the other person behind the counter goes, no, not a Butterfinger, I'd buy a Twix. So he grabs both, puts it on the counter, and oh, you took our suggestion. And he buys it, and then he turns and hands it to him and said, hey, I just want to say thank you for serving Walker. And he leaves. The next week, while he walks back into the gas station, and the person behind the counter, kid you not, goes, whoa, hold on, runs, grabs somebody out of the back room and says, our candy bar guy's here, right? How cool is that? All just to say, thank you for serving Walker. Thank you for what you do, because what you do matters. And I just wonder, what would it look like for us? I hear these stories and I continue to dream of who else needs a candy bar, right? Who else needs somebody just to take a little bit of time out of their day, ask them a question, get to know them, invest in them a little bit, let them know they matter, to tell a bigger, more beautiful story of a God who is welcoming, who is loving, who is gracious, who is forgiving. I love the way that I've already seen that happen, this moment turn into movements in this church. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see all of the ways that God is going to keep doing it, because I believe God is about that work. And I believe when a church, when a community, when a people gathered give themselves to that same work, a moment's just a moment, but a movement can change the world as we know it. Please pray with me. Father God, we thank you for this church, for this community of people gathered, and for the mission, the call that you've placed on their hearts to be good news in their communities, in the workplaces, in the schools, wherever it is you've called us to from here, that we know that we gather here this morning, but we gather not just to gather in this moment, but we gather to be sent out into this your world. To carry with us this proclamation, this good news of who you are. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As we reflect, may we praise God for the fact that we are not enslaved to the old story, but that we are free in God's new story in us, and that we are children of God, and that's what the world needs to know and hear. So I want to encourage you as you reflect, if you want to stand, great. If you want to sit, great. Whatever you want to do to reflect during this time, please feel led to do that.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone.
Sing this out if you believe it.
'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Mother's womb, you have chosen me. love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your love flows through my veins. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
We close this morning with some of my favorite words in the whole Bible. They come out of Numbers chapter 6. It's a blessing that God told Aaron to give to his people. And God said that it's through this blessing. God says, I myself will bless my people and I'll write my name on them. So as we go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you his peace. And may you go carrying that name of God into your neighborhoods, into your workplaces, into your communities, proclaiming the beautiful story of who God is. Amen.